Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Journal Republican, reading stories dated October 8th through October 14th, 2020. We'll start with an article headlined "Judge Riding the Circuit" by Steve Hoffman, October 14th. Jason Bohm has been sitting on the 6th Judicial Circuit Court bench in Champaign County on weekdays and riding the circuit he serves on his trusty bicycle on the weekends. Longing for outdoor activity after most festivals and celebrations were canceled, he decided to spend 4 Saturdays riding the circuit, just like Abraham Lincoln used to do with horsepower when he served Central Illinois as a circuit riding attorney. He traveled by horseback through all the counties to be a lawyer, so he just decided to put it together and ride it by bike, said Bohm, who is up for election this November. He finished his 4th and final ride on September 19th, riding a rural loop through Champaign. The prior week, it was Macon County's turn, and the 2 weeks before that, Bohm rode from courthouses between Clinton and Monticello, September 5th, and Sullivan and Tuscola, August 29th. All in all, he rode about 130 miles. "The first ride was far more moving than I anticipated," he said. "You're riding past homes, and I thought, I have the pleasure of serving these folks. I was pretty moved by it." It's also allowed him to see the differences throughout the district, from gentle hills and plains to varying homesteads. "It's been pretty cool," he said. He and his wife, Carolyn, usually ride together, but for safety's sake, she's been riding behind in a truck with flashers on to keep her husband safe. That safety measure has come in handy. The 3 miles on Route 10 might have been the most harried. "There was a truck that passed us with oncoming traffic. We had to pull on the shoulder," said Bohm. "I was thrilled to turn onto Lane Road." He lives north of Mahomet and found out quickly that Route 47 is also not worth the stress. "I did that once. I vowed never to again," said the circuit judge, saying he and Carolyn have 2 or 3 regular routes that help them put in 30 to 50 miles on their bicycles weekly. He also wears a helmet and has flashers on his bike in order to stay safe. "This has really been a great way to get out and see the counties and enjoy them," said Bohm. "It's a great way to get out." Bohm was appointed to the circuit court judgeship in February 2018, replacing the retired Michael Q. Jones. He's on the Republican ballot in all 6 counties of the circuit, running against Democratic candidate Scott A. Lerner. DeLand Weldon approves 2020-21 budget. October 14th. A budget for the 2020-21 fiscal year was approved by the DeLand Weldon School Board on September 30th. It predicts budget deficits for its 3 major funds, including educational, minus $104,365, operations and maintenance, minus $45,050, and transportation, minus $57,250, but each fund will have a positive balance at the end of the year on June 30th. The education fund will have an estimated $1.4 million at that time, O&M $1.2 million, and transportation $190,000. There is also $930,000 in the working cash fund if needed. School officials said the start of school is going well for both in-person and e-learners as the district copes with COVID-19 precautions. Middle and high school principal Matt Goldman said the addition of FastBridge assessment software has also been well received, which he said should give the district a leg up on standardized tests to be taken in the spring. "What we like about FastBridge is it gives some specifics on interventions and skills that kids need to work on," said Goldman. "We think it's just another step to individualize our instructions to our kids. And again, we're able to do that because of our size. So far, we like it internally, and we're excited to see the results and see the growth we can get from it as well," he added. Accounts cleaned up. The board cleaned up some accounts, deleting some that had not been used of late and transferring balances to other accounts. The largest was the Operation Help account, where $587 was placed in the principal's account. Other ones closed were Lifesavers, funds will go to National Honor Society, Spirit Club, to the cheerleader account, a technology fund, to yearbook, and Archery, to principal account. In other action, the board approved the latest batch of school board policy changes as recommended by the Illinois Association of School Boards. Approved the issuance of district credit cards for Geary and District Secretary Bookkeeper Cheryl Jones, and approved the use of Carl Clinic for its random drug testing program. Tests will cost the district $55 each. Domestic Violence Awareness Vigil set for October 20th by Steve Hoffman, October 14th. There are a few things Willow Tree Missions Director Cheryl Lejeune would like people to take away from National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is observed each year in October. 1. Abuse can be more than physical. It can include emotional, economic, and verbal abuse, among others, and can also see the use of children to keep someone in an unhealthy relationship. 2. Piatt County is not isolated from domestic violence. Willow Tree has helped 70 victims so far this year, putting it on a pace for 90 to 95 by year's end. That would dwarf the last 2 years when 60 and 61 people were helped, respectively. I think one question we hear a lot of times is, does that really happen here, said Lejeune. Yes, it does, she answered. People tend to think of domestic violence as black eyes and broken ribs, and they don't want to think that it happens around here, when really domestic violence and abuse is bigger than that, said the Willow Tree director. The organization, along with Piatt County State's Attorney Victims Advocate Kelly Siebens, has organized We Stand Against Domestic Violence, a public vigil planned for 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, October 20th, at Forest Preserve Park in Monticello. It will include a panel of those who have been affected by domestic violence, a lap around the park to honor victims, and the silhouette of a silent warrior that will represent those who are battling abuse in silence. At this event, we're going to have a panel of speakers who are either past victims of abuse or family members who had a family member affected by abuse, said Lejeune. They'll be speaking in the pavilion, and then we'll also have a lap designated around the inside of the park. People who want to just honor victims will be able to light a candle and walk a lap in honor of someone. The vigil will be free-flowing. Those who want to attend just the panel or take a dedicated lap can do so and not have to take part in both. Lejeune hopes all members of the community will feel welcome to attend. I think any community member could come to it. We've had some responses already, and some are people who have always been loyal Willow Tree supporters. But anybody who has a kind heart and cares about how to help people, she said. Attendees may get answers to questions they have thought about, but have been afraid to ask. Why does she stay? Why doesn't she just leave? Well, that's easier said than done. There is emotional twisting and mental twisting. The lies they're told by their abuser feed into that. But also the fear, I'm jumping off a cliff, who's going to catch me, she added. Lejeune said the community has been very supportive of Willow Tree, meaning any need that they put out to the public. There has never, ever been a single need that we've put out there that hasn't been met in record time, she boasted. But the needs continue to increase, and it will take more than donations to reduce the amount of domestic abuse that occurs locally. It will take getting involved. Everyone should be watching out for people. They should call the police if they hear domestic fights. Very often, victims don't want to call the police or be involved with charges being pressed because this is the person who pays the bills. This is the person that controls all their money, she said. For more information on the vigil, go to www.willowtreemissions.org or call 217-631-1018. How to get help. If you need assistance with an order of protection, no stalking order, or wish to speak with an advocate about domestic violence, Piatt County has 3 advocates who are available. Kelly Siebens, Piatt County State's Attorney's Victim Advocate, 217-762-2574. Rachel Lejeune, Willow Tree Missions, 217-631-1018. Liz Mackey, Dove, 217-762-2123. Cerro Gordo Junior and Senior High School students going all remote for 2 weeks by Steve Hoffman, October 13th. Cerro Gordo junior and senior high school students have been moved to all remote learning after four positive COVID-19 tests in the school in recent days. School administrators hope to return to in-person learning on Monday, October 26th. We are coordinating our efforts with both the DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health Department and the Macon County Health Department to promptly identify individuals who have had recent contact with the COVID-19 positive individuals to prevent further spread within our school and community. The health and safety of our students and staff remains our highest priority, said Superintendent Brett Robinson in an email to district families. Two cases were also reported at the elementary school, which remains open. Staff members and students who have been identified as having prolonged close contact to a person who received a positive test are being quarantined for 14 days. We will continue our ongoing monitoring of students and staff for signs and symptoms of illness and evaluation of illness reports to promptly identify possible outbreaks. Our custodial staff will continue to deep clean and disinfect the areas impacted by potential exposure to the COVID-19 virus, said Robinson. Free oil changes for single parents. October 13th. Kester Homes and Valentine Tire and Auto in Monticello are teaming up to give away up to 100 oil changes to single parents. Tiffany Kester said it's their way of relieving some of the stress that has come with 2020. I know COVID has been hard for a lot of people. For me, in a two-parent house, it's been difficult to navigate and work from home, said Kester, a co-owner of the local Kester Homes, a real estate broker with Keller Williams, the real estate center of Central Illinois. I thought, what would I do without a partner to help? So me and Tasha Valentine of Valentine Auto started chatting about how we can help people out, especially single parents, she added. Here's how it works. Those interested in the free oil changes can show up at Kester Homes, 304 South Market Street in Monticello, between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. on Saturday, October 17th, to pick up a voucher. It will allow the recipient to schedule an oil change with Valentine Tire and Auto anytime within the next 6 months. Kester said they thought of doing all the oil changes in a single day, but felt the voucher option would allow them to spread that out and be able to help more families that way. For more information, call Kester Homes at 217-210-4944. Featured, Virtual Open House Offered by School, by Steve Hoffman, October 13th. Ideally, the Monticello School District would be showing off its renovation project at the high school, Washington Elementary, with a public open house about now. Group gathering restrictions nixed that, at least for this fall, so the district is doing the next best thing, offering a virtual tour online, which allows participants to travel from room to room to look at the new and renovated spaces and to use their mouses to change angles in a virtual 360-degree tour. It is available at https://www.illini360.com/sagestour. The community supported the referendum for the improvements, and they are paying the bills, so we wanted them to see what they're paying for, said Monticello School Superintendent Vic Zimmerman. So many of our community members graduated from Monticello High School. They will be shocked at the changes within the school, and they will be proud of the ways we blended the old with the new. The bones are old, but the educational spaces have changed and will serve our community for many years to come, he continued. The original high school was constructed in 1921, and renovations to those spaces are some of the last portions of the project to be completed. The project has also included the addition of a larger gymnasium, classroom wing at Washington Elementary, and a two-story high school science classroom and lab addition. Craig Bliss of Illini 360 compiled the virtual tour. Obituaries. Carl L. Winky, age 90, of Champaign, died on Thursday, October 8th, at Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral services will be 10 a.m. on Monday, October 19th at Trinity Lutheran Church, 701 East Florida Avenue, Urbana. Masks will be required and attendance is limited to 50, including family. Burial immediately following, no attendance limitations in Grandview Memorial Gardens, Champaign. Visitation will be from 3 to 5 p.m. on Sunday, October 18th at Morgan Memorial Home, 1304 Regency Drive West, Savoy. Masks will be required. Memorial contributions may be made to the American Cancer Society, Alzheimer's Association, Trinity Lutheran Church, or an organization of the donor's choice. Robert L. Chumbly, 77, of Cisco, passed away on Sunday, October 11th, at his home, after a long, hard-fought battle with Parkinson's disease and Lewy body dementia. A graveside service to honor and celebrate Robert's life will be held at Croninger Cemetery, Cisco, at 12 noon on Thursday, October 15th. Memorial contributions in Robert's honor may be made to Safe Haven Hospice, Springfield, or Monticello Church of Christ, Monticello. Thomas A. Koss, 53, of Champaign, formerly of Monticello, passed away on October 7th at his residence. Private family services will be held. L. Richard Robson, 95, of Monticello, formerly of Cisco, passed away October 9th at the Piatt County Nursing Home, Monticello. There will be no visitation. Graveside services will be held in Croninger Cemetery, south of Cisco, at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, October 15th, with military graveside rites. COVID-19 guidelines will be followed with mask requirement and social distancing. Memorials may be made to the Piatt County Nursing Home, Monticello, or Craig Reed Legion, Cisco. Michael Stewart Reeves, age 74, of Monticello, passed away Tuesday, October 6th, at Baptist Medical Center in Little Rock, Arkansas. There will be a time of visitation from 3 to 5 p.m. Saturday, October 10th, or there was a visitation. In lieu of flowers, the family has requested memorials be given to the Animal Welfare Society of their choice. Illinois surpasses 660,000 combined early mail votes by Peter Hancock, Capital News, Illinois, October 13th. Piatt County already has 1,681 votes cast, Springfield. With just 3 weeks remaining before the November 3rd general election, more than 660,000 voters in Illinois have already cast ballots, either through mail-in or early in-person voting, shattering previous records for advanced voting, according to state election officials. A total of 1,681 Piatt County voters have cast ballots, 1,064 through the mail, 611 via early voting, and 6 by grace voting. The count for mail-in ballots requested is 2,398. Piatt County's current vote count is higher than other rural counties, to wit, 1,175 votes cast, Douglas, 1,265, Moultrie, 1,026. The Illinois State Board of Elections posted to its website Tuesday that 660,500 advance ballots had already been received by various local voting jurisdictions. That included 482,848 mail ballots that had either been delivered to election authorities or deposited in a drop box. That's 22.4% of the more than 2.15 million mail ballots that have been requested so far. In addition, 175,965 registered voters had cast ballots at in-person voting locations, roughly double the number of early in-person votes cast at the same point in the 2016 election cycle. And another 1,687 grace period voters had registered to vote and voted in person simultaneously. Grace period voting in Illinois begins 27 days before an election, which started on October 7th this year. During that period, Voters may no longer register to vote by mail, but they may register in person and vote at an early voting location. Online voter registration is available through October 18th. There were still another 1.67 million mail ballots as of Tuesday that had been sent out to voters but not yet returned, ISBE said. Illinois is among a growing number of states that allows anyone to apply for a mail-in ballot. Some other states require voters to prove that they're unable to vote in person on election day, either because they'll be out of town or have a disability, before they can receive a mail ballot. In recent years, voting by mail has become more and more popular nationwide. The previous record for Illinois was set just 2 years ago, when approximately 430,000 votes, or about 9.3% of all ballots, were cast by mail. But the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020 prompted many states to expand mail balloting, including 5 states, California, Nevada, Montana, New Jersey, and Vermont, that are conducting this year's elections almost entirely by mail. Meanwhile, Washington, Oregon, Utah, and Colorado have been conducting elections almost entirely by mail for several years. Other states, including Illinois, have greatly expanded access to mail-in ballots and in-person early voting in response to the pandemic, leading many observers to suggest that the 2020 election could be the first one in U.S. history in which more ballots are cast in advance than on Election Day. As of Tuesday afternoon, according to the nonpartisan U.S. Elections Project, more than 11.8 million voters nationwide had already cast their ballots. In Illinois, the General Assembly passed a bill in May that required local election officials to automatically send advance ballot applications to voters in the state that had participated in recent elections. That bill also allowed counties to set up secure drop boxes where voters could hand deliver their ballots before Election Day. Under Illinois law, all mail-in ballots that are postmarked on or before Election Day are to be counted as long as they arrive by November 17th. But ISBE spokesman Matt Dietrich said it is still a good idea for voters to mark their ballots and return them to their local election officials as soon as possible. Mail ballots can be processed as soon as they are received, Dietrich said in an email to Capital News Illinois. That means the signature can be verified, the ballot deemed intact, and run through a tabulator. This is the same process that happens in early voting, except that it's an election judge, not the voter, who puts the ballot into the machine. Applications for a mail ballot this year must be received by the election authority by Thursday, October 29th. Election officials strongly urge anyone who plans to vote by mail to apply for a ballot by October 15th. The only thing that can't be done until polls close at 7 p.m. on November 3rd, Dietrich said, is running totals for the votes marked on advanced ballots. For that reason, it's impossible to know which candidates are leading so far in Illinois. MHS runners continue to excel by Jason Brown, PCJF, and Colin Likas, The News Gazette. October 13th. The Monticello girls and boys cross-country teams competed in the Illinois Prairie Conference Varsity Championship meet at St. Joseph Ogden High School Saturday. Jackson Grambart may have produced the best description of Saturday's Illini Prairie Conference girls and boys cross-country meets. "We really felt like it was kind of a miniature state," the Monticello junior said. It's easy to see why he and many others gathered at St. Joseph Community Park for the morning's races felt that way. The girls' field contained last year's Class 1A 2nd, 3rd, 7th, 11th, and 17th place teams. The boys' docket included the previous season's Class 1A champion, as well as its numbers 3, 18, and 19 squads. Quite a prestigious lineup indeed. And those running Saturday didn't disappoint, with numerous personal bests recorded amid cool and cloudy conditions on the flat, grassy layout. Girls' team. The Sages girls' team remained undefeated by winning the meet by 16 points. "Our girls' team is looking really good right now," said Monticello coach David Remmert. Our top four are better than any top four girls we've had on any cross-country team in school history. The Sages scored 29 team points, while Tolono Unity followed with 45 for second. Olympia's 90 teams points placed third, St. Thomas More's 122, fourth, St. Joseph Ogden's 136, fifth, Bloomington Central Catholic 141, sixth, and Illinois Valley Central's 151, seventh. Our top four girls are in the top 11 runners in all of Class 1A statewide, although those websites are only as good as the data that goes into them, Remmert said. Those top four are Mabry Brune, senior Grace Talbert, sophomore Estella Miller, and junior Rachel Kuhn. All four runners placed in the top six spots. Brune won the meet with a time of 17:19.1, and Talbert followed in second at 18:09.5. Miller ran an 18:26.68 for fifth place, and Kuhn crossed the line at 18:52.15 for sixth place. Sophomore Rose Talbert and junior Kyara Welter ran a 19:52.36 and 20:03.08 respectively for 16th and 18th places. Senior Emma Brown placed 20th with a time of 20:13.82 to round out the Sages' times. It's fun to watch them compete each week, and we're really looking forward to the upcoming championship meets at our regional and sectional, Remmert said. The boys' cross-country team placed second with 44 team points in the Illinois Prairie Conference Varsity Championship meet at St. Joseph Ogden. Olympia won the meet with 39 points. The rest of the teams finished in this order: St. Joseph Ogden, 60, Tolono Unity, 96, Illinois Valley Central, 151, Pontiac, 162, Bloomington Central Catholic, 181, Rantoul, 201, and Prairie Central, 251. Our boys' team is starting to come together very well, said Remmert. We were second today, but only 5 points behind the top-ranked team in the state. We had a number of injuries early on with our team, but they're now healthy and training well, and it shows. Junior Jackson Gammer took second place with a time of 15:40.36, and senior Josh Basor followed 2 seconds behind in third place at 15:42.30. Junior Ed Mitchell placed sixth with a time of 17:05.59. Senior Joey Wenke and senior Sean Darby ran a 16:19.39 and a 16:50.87 for 15th and 18th place in that order. Sophomore Logan Sikorsky placed 27th with a time of 17:40.3, and freshman Rylan Good rounded out the team's times at 17:42.0. Monticello is set to host the Sages invite at 9 a.m. Saturday. Teams include Olney, St. Joe, STM, PBL, Uni High, and Mahomet. Well, that's all we have time for today. This has been Paula Kaufman reading stories from the Journal Republican, dated October 8th through October 14th, 2020. Please stay well. I look forward to reading with you again soon.